It's very important before we begin this parak that you try, please, to download the maps that are available, and I've updated it, so you now have, besides the original maps, you have geographical maps and the maps of Ezra Yehuda with the cities of Yehuda that we're going to be talking about today. I think that because we're talking today about a tremendously lengthy parak, that the only thing that we can do about the cities that we're going to be listing is let you look them up on the map. There are a few of them that are indeed easily identifiable. Many of them are just listed. We don't know precisely where they are, but we're going to list them in the map according to the various areas, geographically defined, and also, as we'll explain later, defined according to standard governmental divisions into government areas. And later on, the Navi himself is going to be doing this. And so before we begin, let me just give you a word of introduction so that you don't get discouraged by Barnea, 35 years later.
It says that Girsa Diankasa you retain. And I never learned this when I was young. And why did I learn when I was young? Because the elementary schools skip, and it's places the kids have no connection to it. And then there was an Neri Yisrael Yeshiva, and Rav Matis Weinberg gets said, take Mishmar night, when the boys used to learn all night, learn one of the Chof Dalet Svarim of Tanakh, and you'll finish Tanakh over the course of the winter. You'll know Tanakh. So I sat down with eagerness when I was 15, and again when I was 16 with the Yeshua, and I'm reading through, and then we hit Perek Yud Bays, and there's places in Yugimah, and in Tesvav, I just closed the book, I fell asleep, and I gave up. So I never finished Navi when I was young, etc. Working now with Foundation Stone to make maps and to make it understandable, to teach the Nachlad is my revenge on the system. But everybody, hold in there, hold in there.
Okay, today's Perek in Tanakh is Perek 15, Perek Tetvav in Sefer Yehoshua. And we began yesterday discussing the transition, not only into the time of giving out the Nachalot, which had begun in the parak before that, but the transition actually from Yehoshua to the next stage, in which instead of having an army of Yisrael that was led by Yehoshua, the Shvatim would take themselves the responsibility, in which Kolev appears to point out that the closure of the Mice of the Meraglim and the Knesset Eretz Yisrael with the Marat HaMachpelah that he was Zochata should allow him to apply the Keach of the Gadol Ba'anakim with his Avram Avinu and to actually complete the Yerusha of the Anakim by taking over Hebron and Kiryat Arba. And this is actually a fascinating continuation of the way in which we're paralleling the 2.5 Shvatim in Eivar HaYarden, which Moshe Rabbeinu was Meirish, which was Kulay in terms of Sichon V'Og, who are the remaining Rifa'im, and those are the Anakim that he was afraid of, most of Og, because of his connection to Avram HaGadol Ba'anakim. The next piece, which according to the Masera, actually, remember, we pointed out these prakim are only non-Jewish prakim. The way that we have it split out is by Sidorim. And this particular Seder actually goes on through the continuation of 2.5, very fascinating, 2.5 Shvatim that are Yorish. Keneged, those 2.5 Shvatim and the Chatzi Shevet Menashe is exactly the way in which these two interrelate, and it becomes the function of the relationship of Yehuda and Yosef. So we go on to Yehuda, Ephraim, and the other Chatzi Shevet Menashe, which is literally parallel in every way. It stresses the Anakim and the way that Kalev was necessary for doing that. Complete parallel to Moshe Rabbeinu, and as we're going to see in this day's parak, another parallel to Moshe Rabbeinu, and another stage of the removal of the Hanhaga from Yehoshua. Stay tuned. And so what we begin, first of all, in this parak, is the Nachala of Yehuda. Now, before we talk about the particular Nachala, I think it's very important to look at your maps and get first an idea of the geographical differences that we keep referring to in Eretz Yisrael. And this is your second map on this parak, which you can download, where we have over here the Eretz Yisrael in terms of, let me just point it out to you over here, you have the Midbar area, which goes on the bottom all the way up around Midbar Yehuda. So this is referred to always as Midbar. We have, and as I pointed out to you, Midbar doesn't necessarily mean a desert. Midbar means a wilderness. It doesn't mean a place where there's no rainfall at all. You have the Negev area here. This is called Negev, up until Midbar. This is Nachal Mitzrayim, which again we spoke about the Nachal Mitzrayim in terms of Wadi El Arish, or whatever we're talking about even further on. This area is called the Chof HaYam, always in the Pesukim. This area is called Hahar. So this Har is the Hare Yehuda area, but continues on down through Beit Shemesh. This is called the Shvela, right behind the Chof HaYam. And this is the area that we're going to be looking at today in terms of the Nachal of Yehuda. So we have the Negev, the Shvela, Chof HaYam, the Har, and the Midbar. Now the way that the the psukim define the Yerusha. We pointed out yesterday that somehow there were two issues. The initial issue in terms of the Knesset Eretz Yisrael had to do with king. And there we counted the number of kings. We count Sichon Ve'og on the one hand, and the Laman Aleph Malachim. And Moshe Rabbeinu had always spoken about, in Beremez, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, about the Laman Aleph Malachim, and what will people say, and Yitzchak Hashem, and Yoshua had said the same thing, as if somehow it shaykes to different Malachim was what was valuable. We know also that another way of measuring the Kibush was in terms of Arim, and that's why yesterday we discussed the Arim that would be given over to the Levian, and indeed we do the same thing today. However, we first talk about geography and the borders, the overall Gvulot, and then at the end we make a Sikkum of the various cities. At the very end we go through all of the cities. It's quite a long list. It's 112 cities. 112 cities that were Mukafot Choma. In the listings among the various details of the Shvatim, we have even more than that. It must be the difference is that the ones that we list, the entire group, is 112 of really Choshev cities. Those are the cities that we refer to as Mukafot Choma Mimot Yoshua Ben Nun, and that's how we relate to it as a Hashivas even in future times, that it retains that Kedusha. It's the whole question when we come back the second time, the relationship of Purim to the covet of Eretz Yisrael, as the Yerushalmi points out, is to relate to these Orim specifically that were Mukafot Choma Mimot Yoshua Ben Nun. The other cities that are mentioned, that are not re-mentioned in the count, are apparently the Orim that were Chatzirot. They were Arei HaPra. They weren't as chashuv, and they were open towns. What's more, we're going to see later on that we're going to refer to what are called chevel. Chevel seems to be some sense of not geographic necessarily area, but some sense of government area. So this area, there is a natural control of this area, and it has X number of cities. That area has Y number of cities. So we talk about the chavalim, so we have the geographical area, the chavalim, and within that you can have some geographical areas don't have one chavel, like the Negev, for instance. But some geographical areas have many chavalim later on. And then we talk about the number of cities that are in those chavalim, and then in the end we make a sikkum of the whole thing. So Einochinam, the Negev, you only have one Yerushalayim. So also we talk about only one, but then there are many places where we'll talk about the details. And so begins now the pasuk. Vayiha goral matei v'nei Yehuda l'mishpachotam. As we said, everything was mechulak with goralot. El gvul edom mitbartzin negba mikzei teman. We're talking about now the southern boundary. The southern boundary abuts the area of Edom. Your map, Reb Barnea. So if we look at our map, actually if you can get hold of Reb Barnea's satellite map, you'll see that the color of Edom is Edom. The land itself is a deepish red because of iron oxides. And if you take a look at the map here, the end of the Yam HaMelech, even though today it's all dried out, and we have the salt pools and so on. But this southern end of the Yam HaMelech actually used to come over here. This is Zohar, this is Har Sodom. So in this area over here were the Arei HaKikar once upon a time. And now, Nachal Zored is generally this, assumed to be this Nachal, which comes out of the Lashon of the Yam. That is the question, whether the Lashon refers to just the edge of the sea, where the Lashon is the extension, a little piece. The Pashto says we use Lashon Yam in other places to just mean the sea edge. So if Nachal Zored is indeed this Nachal right here, we're talking about Yehuda coming to the very, very end, touching up, abutting the land of Edom. And if you cut across from there, as you can see, if you start going directly even east from there, you end up in the middle of Mitzrayim. With the map cuts off over here, but if you keep going, you hit Wadi El Marish and you hit the Nile and so on and so forth. We're not used to thinking in those terms because when we're down in that area, we sort of think we're still up around the level of Yerushalayim. But the truth is, it's a major difference. You're much, much further south. And if you cut across, you're in Mitzrayim. What today is Mitzrayim. So that was the boundary now of Yehuda to on its southern side. Vayilem Gvul Negev Mikse Yam HaMelech. Min halashon haponen negba. And so the edge of that boundary, it started at the very edge of the Yam HaMelech to the south, and that was from the little extension of the sea or the seashore that was towards the south of the Yam HaMelech. V'yatza el min negev l'male akrabim. And then we have a little bit, and here please your map, Barbara Barnea. This would be a very good time to have a word from our sponsor. Foundation Stone that sells the De'ara
Tanakh map. It's available at www.foundationstone.org. Go to the hour, go to the map. It's based on the work of Dr. Richard Cleave in Cyprus, who made the Holy Land Satellite Atlas, which Rebbe is also using at the moment. This is Ashdod and Gat over here, which connects directly to... And which most people
say that
hold.
Again. Say it again.
There is a very difficult ascent through the mountains called the Scorpion's Ascent, which we did years ago with the yeshiva. It's right here. And that is the Roman road, and that is soon to be Male Akrabim. That's a very, very difficult passage and a boundary between two areas. Right here where my finger is, if you notice, this is, and nobody else can see Aaron, this is the small Machtesh. This is the large Machtesh, so we're just south of what's called the Machtesh Gadol. Not the Ramon crater, north of the Ramon crater, south of the large crater is this boundary over here, and Kadesh Barnea, most people put down over here. I didn't want to put it because it's an argument where it is, but Dudu Cohen of Hebrew University yelled at us, how can you not put Kadesh Barnea on the map?
I felt it was like... Especially when it's a plug.
I thought it was like Hitchcock putting himself into his movies. So I avoided it, but this is the last thing he said. No, you have to place it over here. I'm named for it.
Where is
it? Here.
Yeah, but
here's
Oz. Say where it is. Say a lot.
Fine. South of Oz. I forgot how to pronounce the Arabic name of it. Dir el Dir.
That's not important.
Say it.
Where is it close to?
Describe it.
The moment
is close to. It's just over.
People are not aware where the Machtesh is.
It is south of Be'er Sheva, almost due south of Be'er Sheva.
That's Malak Rabin, but you were talking about Kadesh Barnea.
And Kadesh Barnea would be an hour and a half to 2 hours southwest of Be'er Sheva. It's just over the current Egypt-Israel border. It's now in Egypt. You can see it from within Israel.
Okay, now the words that we use for the description of the Gvul, these were words that were used by Moshe Rabbeinu as well, and they're words that specifically have to do with map drawing, and therefore have specific meaning. Some of them are not all that 100% clear to us, but we're going to use words, as you'll see, v'yatsa ha'gvul, v'yavar ha'gvul, v'yala ha'gvul, v'yarat ha'gvul, v'nasav ha'gvul, v'ta'ar ha'gvul. These are particular words that have to do with the nature of maps, so that if we become sensitive to it, we can actually get a feeling for the geography without having a map in front of us by knowing the way that Yoshua refers here to the shaynis. So the yatsa gvul that it says here means where you have a gvul that is going towards some very clear-cut geographical prominence. So it's v'yatsa. We all know where that is. So it's v'yatsa l'male akrabim. That is what Barnea just said was a very, very clear-cut place that shows up that everybody knows. It's the place where you can barely get up there. You got to be a scorpion yourself to climb it. And it's very, very sharp aliyah. The avar, that is a lashon of something else. So here we're talking about now where we have, according to the Gra, it means where the gvul cuts through. Avar means that it cuts right in the middle of a city, which is a unique pirish of the avar. But pashas avar means where it's a well-known straight line that you can say just goes straight through that area. But lamaisa, it makes sense to say that it cuts into two sides. That's what he's mechadish. So the avar tzina, it goes now not l'chora to midbar tzin, because we're already past that. So the avar tzina, the Allah minegev l'kadesh barnea, as we just heard from Reb Barnea, the avar chetzron, the Allah adara, the nasav hakarka'a. And so it goes through these towns. You know where any of this is?
No.
Okay. Nasav is always used where a turn is being made. It's not avar, which is going straight, but rather it's now going in a different direction than it was before. Again, if we knew the specific areas, we would have a better sense of what this is referring to. According to the Gra, the meaning of an asav is not only that it turned, but that it circled around and came back to the same line. No, that it... It went around, like we would say today. Just go around that town and then go back onto the 31. You know, in other words, it means not that the gvul as a whole turned, but that it was a belt around that area to leave that outside of the gvul. So again, because we don't know precisely where the places are, it's hard to really know exactly what it's referring to. But again, we get a sense of where it's going.
Outside the gvul, not
Whatever. It depends what karka is. We'd have to, as I said, we don't know. It could be either way.
The specifics, were they given as the nachala?
Yeah, this is the overall description of the nachala, and then later on it'll talk about what's in it. But this is the outside boundary that we're talking about. So, v'avar atzimona, v'yatza nachal Mitzrayim. Now, the gvul comes all the way out to the well-known place, Nachal Mitzrayim, and that is Hayat Totzot HaGvul Yama, and then it spills out. The end of it would be at the sea, and at the sea, that means that that becomes the gvul. Zeh Yelechem Gvul Negev, so at the place where you hit the Yam, you now have the entire gvul, as you could see, curving up towards the Yam again. So we have from the end of the Yam HaMelach, cutting across to the Yam HaGadol. And then Gvul Kedma, on the eastern side now, you have the Yam HaMelach itself. And that Yam HaMelach goes on ad Kitzei HaYarden, until the very top of the Yam HaMelach in the middle, which is where the Jordan River spills into it. So that part, Gvul Pa'at Safon, and then if you're looking at the northern Gvul, Milashon HaYam, again using that same language, the sea edge, which is why it makes sense that that's the Lashon of Lashon also on the southern end. So it's Milashon HaYam Mikitzei HaYarden, at the edge of the sea, meaning of the Yam HaMelach, at the point where the Yarden comes in, and then V'Allah HaGvul Beit Chogla V'Avar Mitzafon LeBeit HaArava. And so when we are doing an Aliyah, we're doing an Aliyah, as Rashi says, anything on its way to Yerushalayim is always going up. Anything leaving Yerushalayim is going down. And we use that Lashon, of course, even today. The Allah HaGvul, and so the Gvul going towards Yerushalayim, went past Evan Bohan ben Reuven. Now what the heck that's supposed to mean? Some suggest, some of the Rishonim said that this was a piece of rock that was very prominent, and that was looked like a thumb that was sticking up. And then they called it, they call it actually, today, there's a place in Arabic in that area that's called Hajar al-Itzba, so which means it's the rock of the Bohan. So if that's the case, that is the Yericho area. So perhaps that was once upon a time called Ben Reuven, which was named according to Radak after the local owner, whoever that was. The Allah Hagvul Dvira Mi'emek Achor. And so now from that point, Emek Achor that we met earlier came from Evan Bohan Ben Reuven, which is to the south, all the way to Dvir, which is at the northern part of it. And so it went to the area of Dvir, Mi'emek Achor v'tzafona pone el Agilgal, asher nochach l'male adumim, asher minegev l'nachal. And so that went up towards Male Adumim, which was right to the south of the Nachal, the Avar Agvul el Me'in Shemesh, v'yuto tzotav el Ein Rogel. All right, so Ein Rogel, of course, would be the area today, which is right under the old central bus station of Yerushalayim, where we have Lifta, where we get our Mayim for the Matzot. It's very popular to go there for Mayim Shalanu. The Allah Agvul Gei Ben Hinnom, el Ketev HaYavusi Mineget, Yerushalayim. The Agvul would go up from there towards Yerushalayim, coming now from the direction of Tel Aviv to Gei Ben Hinnom, which is a block away from here, basically, 2 blocks away from here. And it was right at the edge of the Yavus, which is, of course, known as Yerushalayim. So this was to the south of the Yavus. The Allah Agvul El Rosh Shahar HaShal Pnei Gei Hinnom would go all the way up to the top of what we now call Har Tzion, which is not really Har Tzion, but we call that Har Tzion, which is right above Gei Ben Hinnom. The Gvul would go up to the top of that, and Yama Asher B'Ktzei Emek Rifaim Tzafona, that would be now towards the west, and at the edge of Emek Rifaim. Emek Rifaim was the reason that we called that street Emek Rifaim, was the supposition that it relates to Gei Ben Hinnom in that direction.
And it's the watershed of Jerusalem, every ring that goes from the train station of the King David Hotel on that side goes to the Mediterranean, and everything on this side of that valley goes to the Yam HaMelach.
So that the Gvul would actually be along the watershed. So it makes a great deal of sense that the topography would be this. Touches all the way there. That's right. Kikar Paris.
Kikar Paris, King George.
That's the watershed.
Yeah, one side it goes, Bachelet Yehuda into the, what do you call it?
Into the Yom HaMelach. Okay, so learn something new every day here. V'ta'ar ha'gvul me'rosh ha'ar el ma'ayan me'neftach. And so then, the gvul at that point would go around, according to Rashi, it means v'ta'ar in a sort of circle, would go from the top of the mountain we just mentioned, which was Har Tzion, to the Ma'ayan of the Mei Neftoach. And the question is, where exactly is Mei Neftoach? This is very important because that's the highest area, and we wanted to lower Yerushalayim a little bit. As the Gemara says, it's supposed to be like the Tzavarech, I mean, God David Tzavarech, so it should look like a neck, which is beautiful between two shoulders. Mei Neftoach, Rabbanea.
So, some say Mei Neftoach is also by Lifto, or right next to it, and that would go maybe with circling around. The Radak brings that if it's Ein Etam, a lot of people put Ein Etam way to the south of the city, out near Efrat, and that really changes this whole line. I'm sure there's more opinions. I don't know them.
V'yatzal arei Har Efron. From there, it would go to the cities along Har Efron. We're never told what those are, so it's difficult to know. According to Rashi, who holds that Mei Neftoach is Ein Etam, so then it would be the area of Kiryat Yarim, that mountainous area. So that would be what we would call also Ba'ala. He, Kiryat Yarim, would go to the town of Ba'ala, which is known today as Kiryat Ba'alim. That's called the Kiryat Ba'al later. Apparently that's Ba'ala. V'nasav aglumi Ba'ala yama el har Seir, v'yaval ketev har Yarim etzafona yichisalon. V'yarad Beit Shemesh, v'yavar Timna. And so now we're coming along from Yerushalayim, trying to get back to the Yam so that we can see the northern boundary as it goes from Yerushalayim down towards, again, the Mediterranean. And at this point, and here we do have good maps, could you please take them?
So we came up to Yerushalayim, and the difference of where it is in Yerushalayim is rough. But let's draw a line. We're following an ancient road to Kiryat Yarim, and then we're going down to Beit Shemesh, and then we're going to go to Katef Ekron, and then we're going to go by Shikrona. There's a discussion where that is, but out to Yavne and to the sea. It's roughly along these lines.
The same
Beit Shemesh as today. Beit Shemesh is tricky because Beit Shemesh sometimes is called in Dan, and sometimes it's called in Yehuda. Sometimes Sarah Nashtaol seems to be Dan, and sometimes Yehuda.
These cities are also, modern cities have been named as close as possible, like Kislon, to the identification. Kisalon is also still there. Yeah, Beit Shemesh is 100%. And then V'yatzagul ketefekron tzafona, V'ta'aragul shikrona, as Rabbanei has just pointed out, at Ekron, the Gvul turns up to the north a little bit through Shikron, V'yavar hara be'ala V'yatzag Yavne'el. Yavne'el is probably Yavne, according to most Mefarshim. Vayuto Tzota Gvul Yama, and from there it cuts straight across into the Mediterranean, which is basically the beach that we use. I think we call it Palmachim today, that area.
Yes.
That's the beach of Palmachim.
Nachal Sorek runs at the edge of Yavne.
Right. You can actually follow Nachal Sorek on the road most of the way. That would be this Gvul. So that means the Gvul Yam, once again, we got back to Ayama, Agadol, Ugvul. The area is all along the Mediterranean. That's always what it means with Gvul, whatever beaches, whatever cities, all of that area is part of Yehuda. Ze Gvul b'nei Yehuda saviv l'mishpachotam. Now at this point, after we get the saviv, the overall boundary of the Gvul, we move on to the second part of the transition from Yehoshua bin Nun. And this, once again, brings us back to Kolev ben Yefuneh as the beginning of the story. So yesterday we saw how Kolev insists that it's to him as the only other one of the Meraglim that came into Eretz Yisrael, and as the only Meragel that was able to face down the Meraglim on his own without being a representation of Moshe Rabbeinu. It is to him that is left the job of being Morish the Anakim. There's yet one other story, because remember that the Maarat HaMachpelah was not only a sign of the underpinnings of the Zchus Teretz Yisrael, and indeed was the first Zchus Teretz Yisrael, but it was also a sign of Zugiyut. It was a sign of the nature of relationship of, it's called Kiryat Arba, as Rashi says, Arba Zugot. And that means that the nature of marriage is part of the nature of Eretz Yisrael. That's clear from the fact that we learn out the din of marriage, Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron. So the first Zuchus that we have in Eretz Yisrael is the first moment that we have the dinim of Kiddushin. And therefore the Torah defines here a strange story of marriage, which ends up becoming now a transition again from Yehoshua and from Moshe. And here's the story. L'Kalev ben Yefuneh, Natan Chelek. So now, we know that Yehoshua gave a chelek betoch b'nei Yehuda el piyad inoy lo Yehoshua. Basically, Yehoshua knew, al pi neviut, that he was to give at Kiryat Arba, avi ha'anak hi Hebron. As we saw yesterday, this was the Nevi'ut that Kalev himself said was part of what Moshe Rabbeinu had been told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it was supposed to be the land Asher Barach Alea. That meant that he was supposed to be Yoresh Kiryat Arba, which is now Hebron. Vayoresh misham Kalev et Shlosha b'nei Ha'anak, et Sheishai, et Achiman, et Talmai Yelidei Ha'anak. And he took over from the great ones, the three b'nei Ha'anak that were mentioned there. It's actually mentioned in Bamidbar, Beferish, that there at Hebron, that Kalev went there, v'shama Achiman, Sheishai, et Talmai Yelidei Ha'anak. That's the Gadol Ba'anakim, the Poshera meaning of Ha'anak. And he, therefore, was the one who was Yorish that area. Vayal misham Kolev went together with the army of Bnei Yehuda, El Yoshvei Devir. So he came to the land of Devir. There too, there were Anakim, and we just mentioned Devira Vet Kolareha, even though it says Lakad Yoshua, that was part of the Mohammed Adaron, if you remember. If we're talking about over here, the Anakim, which really only happened later with Kolev, and we'll see Otniel, and since, the Mefarshim say, since Yoshua went along, was Mavarech them, was Mitzavah them, it's considered to be part of the Kivush of Yoshua. And, what's more, the name of Devir was known once upon a time as Kiryat Sefer. And this becomes the makor of an amazing medrash, which we'll get to in a moment. He was having difficulty in conquering Kiryat Sefer. Vayomer Kalev, asher yaket Kiryat Sefer ulachada, whoever is the one who manages to conquer Kiryat Sefer, I will natati lo et achsa biti leisha. I will give him my daughter achsa. Achsa, as the Gemara says, is called achsa. First of all, the portion of meaning of the word achsa, we will see in Yeshayahu, means the same as adi. It's a decoration. It means jewelry. But Chazal identify achsa as being a paradigmatic woman, so that she's called achsa because kol haroe ota ko'is al ishto. Why can't you be as beautiful as Achsa? So in other words, there's something that is unique about Achsa, so that this becomes an amazing gift. Anybody who gets Kiryat Sefer gets Achsa. And what happens, Vayukeda Otniel ben Knaz, Achi Kalev, and so Otniel ben Knaz, who became the first Shofet, as we're going to see, and he too was from the Mishpachat HaKnizi, so that Achi Kalev means from his mother, because Kalev, we said, the father of Kalev, the Pashtas, is Kalev ben Yefuneh. Lamaisa, the Gemara, of course, is Mefarsh the entire thing as Bechual, he's called Yefuneh, because he was Panamiatis Meraglin. He was an adopted son of his Churge of Knaz, but we're calling him a brother, and he takes over Kiryat Sefer. Now, Chazal say that Kiryat Sefer is actually a remez to Halakot. And what this goes back to is the other problem of the death of Moshe and the failure of Yoshua. The first failure that we saw was that the Nar who was once the one who carried Moshe Rabbeinu's entire burden, he suddenly became an old man, which is rather inappropriate for a Nar. But there's another way in which he lost out on his Narut. And the Gemara in Tzmura says that this was also related to a failure of Narut. Because what happened is that before Moshe Rabbeinu died, B'sha'ah sheniftar Moshe Rabbeinu leGan Eden, he comes to Yehoshua and he said, this is your last chance to get everything straight. Any suffix that you have in your learning, I'm ready to tell you. He says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Rebbe, klum min achtif v'sha'achat v'alachti l'makom acher. Did I ever leave you even for a minute? Did you not write in the Pasuk yourself, U'mishorto Yehoshua bedun na'ar, lo yamish mitoch ha'ora? What possible suffix could I have? So immediately, because of that, not needing Moshe anymore, as if, I'm okay, I could do without you at this point. He immediately forgot 300 halachas, since it was 3,000 halachas. Nodu lo shva meot tzvekot, and amdu ko Yisrael lo hargo, they wanted to kill him at this point, because he had already started to destroy Torah Shabbat Peh. Omar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, I can't tell you. So can't you just tell me? No. Lomar lecha yevshar, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu no longer is in charge of Torah. I can't tell you anymore. So therefore, this is the reason that you have to go fight. Lech tordan b'milchama, and this is Merumas at the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua. Shenema v'yiach rei mot Moshe hevet Hashem v'yomer Hashem v'Yehoshua. Get up and start battling. Why? Because otherwise they're going to kill you. But it's always a good way to get people to forget about what's bothering them, to get them to fight. Yeah, exactly. Start a war. In the Mishnah, we have a brayta. Elef u'shvamiot kalim v'chamurin gzeirat shava istiktukei seifrim. All of that was nishtak hu bimei aveirot shel Moshe. Fine. What does that have to do with this? Omer Rabbi Avu, af al pikin hirziran otniel ben knaz mitoch pilpulo. And that's a remise to this pasuk. Shenema ba yilakta otniel ben knaz archi kalev. So, first of all, as the Medrash puts it, ad shalosh shak'a shimsho she Yehoshua, zarcha shimsho she otniel ben knaz. So in other words, the moment that we hear about otniel ben knaz, we are listening to the setting sun of Yehoshua. Now this goes hand in hand. This is the setting sun in terms of representation of Moshe Rabbeinu vis-a-vis Torah. Yesterday we heard of the setting sun of Yehoshua vis-a-vis Kalev in terms of Milchama and Latzeit V'Lavo. So the two issues over here become suddenly interrelated through Kalev, which means that indeed it's the contrast in terms of the Matzat HaMeraglim and the responses of Yehoshua that Moshe Rabbeinu clearly saw required Hizkiyah and changes his name to Yehoshua, as opposed to Kalev, whose intense loyalty was such that he was able to do it on his own. And so what happens now? He gives her, indeed, to Otniel ben Knaz. He gives Achsa. And now we have the strangest story. And so here she is, she's coming now, and they've just been married. She now drives him crazy, Otniel, that he should insist that he has not gotten enough of a dowry, and that he has to demand his sadeh. Vatitznach me'ala chamor, she jumps off of her chamor somehow, that she's so upset, and she comes to her father, Vayomala Kalev Malach, what's bothering you over here? So she says, Tznali bracha, you gotta give me something that's useful, because look, Eretz HaNegev Nitatani, all you gave to me was a desiccated land. Now this again, the Gemara, amazingly, is all, seeing this all in terms of Otniel ben Knaz. So here is Otniel, who never had a thing in his life, never wanted a thing in his life, had only Torah. And this is the lashon that the Gemara says, that she said, what was she dining to him? Vatitznach, my vatitznach me'ala chamor. It was a remiss to him. Look, daddy, the moment that chamor zo, kima che'in la ma'achal ba'avuso miyat so'et, that's the tznicha v'chamor. You want to hear a chamor yell? Try not feeding it. Well, nobody's feeding me. Kach isha, kiman she'in la tvoa betoch beta miyat so'eket. This is the way of a woman. No parnasa, I am screaming. You're not going to get rid of me very easily. Tnali bracha. Geretz ha-negev nitatani. What kind of crazy guy did you give me as a husband? Bayit shemenu gav mikol tova. You gave me something. The guy has no money. And she continues to say, v'natata li gulot mayim. What'd you give me? You gave me a guy who's got all the water in the world. But which water? Torah. It's all up there in the sky. Right? That's great. It's mayim chayim. Adam she'im bo'ala Torah buvad. What's going on? And so immediately, vayite la kalev gulot aliyot v'gulot tachtiyot. So he gave her not only the water above, which are the wells above, but the wells below. So according to the Gemara, he told her, mishadar elyonim v'tachtonim yivakesh mimenu mizonot. Let him go ask God. What is he coming to me for? I mean, I like the fact that he thinks his father-in-law is God, but I'm not the one. I'm not the famous joke. I'm not the one who's got the money over here. And so, vayiten lad gulot iliyot ved gulot tachtiyot. Now this becomes the remarkable story of why Otniel ben Knaz is even called Otniel, being as that is not his name, as the Gemara points out. Because actually, Otniel is clear from the interrelationships of Bnei Yehud and Divrei HaYomim, is clearly Yabetz. And we have that strange story in the middle of Divrei HaYomim. Vayi Yabetz nichbad mi'achav v'imo. She calls him Yabetz, meaning the sad one, because I gave birth to him in sadness. And the next pasuk says, out of nowhere, Vayikra Yabetz Elohei Yisrael Emor, Im Borech Tavarachini. That sounds very familiar. We're talking about exactly the words that Achsa is saying to her father, Kalev. Im Borech Tavarachini Virbeitat Gvuli. So if you give me this bracha, and you broaden my gvul, Vayta yatcha in me, and your hand is with me. V'asita me'ra'a levilti atzbi, and you give me my pasture, and don't get me upset, which of course was his name, Yabetz, don't make me sad. Then, and there's no then, Pasuk stops in the middle. Vayave Elohim et asher shal. God gave him what he had. Now this becomes now, in the Gemara, a most remarkable story, in which it must mean, and we have a machlokas in the Gemara, what was he referring to? Im borech tavarachani means like this. Im berakta v'rachani b'torah, v'irbetet gvuli b'talmidim, v'ayta yatcha imadi shalo yishtakach talmudi. I want to remember everything I ever learned. I want to have a tremendous number of students. And Vyasa Mirati means she has done the Lurayim Kamoni. I want good friends, as good as me, best friend I have. Livilti Otsvi, and I don't want any trouble, meaning, Sholo Yisagdini Yetzri Hara Milishano. I don't want any trouble with my Yetzirah when it comes to learning. Time to learn, I won't have any trouble learning. And what happened at the end of the pasuk? Imata Osekein Mutav, if you do that, okay, you can get away with it. But if not, I warn you. I will go to the grave miserable. That's all Yahabit, you'll notice. All about sadness. Miyad vayaveloim et asher sha'al. Another pirush would be that if it's talking about in terms of olam hazeh. Again, the two gulot. Im tavarech teverchani bepiria verivia. Irbet et gvuli bebanim ubebanot. Aitayatcha imadi bemasa umatan. So I want to have success in family, in business. V'asita mirati, I don't want any trouble. No headaches, shoyabi michush rosh. No ear infections, michush esnaim. Don't want any migraines, no michush esnaim. And I don't want any trouble from my yetzer hara. Imata osekein, good. Then I'll let you get away with it. But if not, I'm warning you right now. Areni oleg min sisili sh'ol. Again, miyad v'yavelo Elohim et asher sha'al. God gave him what he wanted on the spot. Because of that, says the Gemara, he's called Otniel, because he's the only guy, Sh'on O'el, give a list of your requirements. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu immediately gives you what you want. So this is really the story of Ya'abetz in Divrei Hayamim. That's what we're learning over here. Now this becomes, again, first of all, a transition to a remarkable integration of Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBa, or Eretz Yisrael as Gulot Elit and Gulot Tachtit. This is Eretz Yisrael as a place of immense spirituality and intense success in terms of Olam HaZeh. It's Achsa who insists that it has to be this way. There's no such thing as being in Eretz Yisrael as a person who has nothing but Torah. Then you might as well not be in the Eretz. So in other words, the verity is amazing, because this is Achsa who is the one that everybody would love to have as a wife, and she is a hell of a nudge. Now here's a guy that's perfectly happy, never wanted a thing, and she's about to see Teo. I mean, this is like she seduces him. No, you got to go out there. You got to make investments. You got to get my father involved. He's got to invest with you. I mean, this is ridiculous. I'm not going to take this.
It's every great man.
And this is indeed now a new vision of Isha in terms of Eretz Yisrael, in which the insistence on the interrelationship of the gulot tachtiot, the gulot aliyot, becomes the definition of the schus to Eretz Yisrael, so that the same Otniel ben Kenaz, who before this was called Ya'abetz, was dealing with the issue of the Eitz Hadat itself, because that's the klol of birth, in which it says, you will give birth be'etzev tel dibanim. The only woman in history, his mother, is the woman who doesn't accept that, which is what he says. I don't accept this. If you think that the state of the universe is sadness, then I'm warning you. I don't get whatever I need, then I'm going to go to the grave sad. So you think I'm going to compromise? I'm not going to compromise. That I can tell you. It's not in me to compromise. I believe too much in the nature of my separations. I share too much of your dream, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for my separations. And there's no way that you're going to persuade me that this is normal. Just like my mother, no way you could persuade her that it's normal to be Moilig Be'etzeh, that the most astonishingly wonderful thing should have in it anything that's associated with Gilgul. And that changes the name of Atzvus to Aniyah. But only through a woman who now is newly interrelates the Keiches of Eretz Yisrael from Tachtiot to Aliyot. Zot Nachalat Matei V'nei Yehuda L'mishpechotam. These indeed defines the entire Nachalah. And now, when we're talking about the cities, Vayu Ha'arim. And so now begins a description of the cities in the various sections. Beginning the cities that were in the Negev. Vayu Ha'arim. Mikzei L'matei V'nei Yehuda L'gvul Edom B'negba. So the cities that were in the area that was along the border with Edom in the Negev, those cities included Kafzeel, V'eder, V'yagur, V'kina, V'dimona, V'adada, V'kedesh, V'chatzor, V'yitnan, Zif, V'telem, U'be'alot, V'chatzor chareta, U'kriot chetzron, all of that he chatzor.
But,
There's an Arab city called Rabid, south of Hebron, which is assumed to be a corruption of Devir. And if you stand, I stood with Chaim Yegeni Olav HaShalom in the yeshiva at the modern town of Otniel, and you're overlooking where there used to be springs in the hill. You're in Asfar Hamidbar, you're on the edge. So it's great for Eretz Mir'eh, for pasture land, which as on the Pashup shot of Yaivitz's request in Divrei Yom, it might need Mir'eh. If you go too far, it's totally desert. But you're on the edge. You can only, you can subsist if you have the water. So she asks for the springs. Zif is known. If you drive south from Hebron towards ancient Arad, then Tel Zif is over on the side. It's one of these two dots over here. And the other cities, I don't know, again, in areas that are less settled, it's hard to know. There's suggestions, but I don't have something specific. But Tel Zif was slightly excavated and is very prominent.
These names are the ancient names that the Canaanite,
the original, except the ones where we see that it's changed.
All right, so as you can see in the map, in the city map, most of this we just have as a list that you'll see on your map. Here the areas are split, but in Azor Olive, on that map, you have all the cities that we just listed. Very few of them are suggested in particular area. Amam, Ushema, Umolada, Vachatzar Gada, Vecheshmon, Ubeit Palet, Vachatzar Shu'al, Ube'er Sheva, Uvizyota, again, we don't know, even though we know Be'er Sheva, we don't really know what these other places are. Ba'ala, seems to be Bala. Ve'iyim, Va'atzen, Ve'el Tolad, Uchsil, Ve'chorma, Tziklag, Ve'tziklag, Umadmana, Ve'sansana, Ulava'ot, Ve'shilchim, Ve'ayin, Ve'rimon. Putting them all together, Kol Arim Esrim Ve'tesha. This includes 29 different cities. Then it also includes the Chatzerehem. The Chatzerehem means the Batei HaChatzerim, which we know as places that do not have a Choma Misaviv. Even though I said we're going to just rush through these because it's the first time that we're doing cities, I just want to clarify what the meaning over here is of this word, the Chatzerehem, and to clarify as well how we're going to figure 29 cities when there's no way that that's the number that we just read. Now, it's true that Pasuk Chaf Hei, for instance, and Lamed Beis, those might be four cities apiece. I mean, it depends how you read it. But if you read it as four cities apiece, then you've got 38 cities here. If you read Pasuk Chaf Hei as being the names of two cities, which is what it seems to be saying, then we've got 36 cities, but we certainly don't have 29 cities. So unless the point over here is that the Esrim V'Teisha is the reference to the Batei Orei Choma and the Chatzerehen is to include all those other open towns, the Batei HaChatzerim, as we know we refer to Batei HaChatzerim, Asher Ein Lehem Choma. Saviv is basically the way that we talk about these kinds of cities. And that's Benogea. Also, the cities that were Yishyesh from Choma, Mimot Yoshua Benun, versus in Purim, the Batei HaChatzerim. So then that means the Batei HaChatzerim are basically included in the overall. They may have been in the Tchum of those, the cities that were Mukofot Choma. They may just be the satellite cities to the Arima Mukofot Choma. But the names of the cities that we mention, the number of the cities that we mention of each grouping does not equal the number of the cities when we count them one by one. So now I would ask you to please look into your map so that we could see the general areas at least that we're talking about. And we're going to talk now about the cities in the Shvela. And this is referring to not the entire Shvela. We're going to take them bit by bit. If you've got a Tanakh that has got the Parshiot in it, that you have the little breaks, this is now going to break up according to Chavalim and the Bishvela. We're not turning to the area of the Shvela on your map, but we're talking first about the northern area of the Shvela, the area which was under the what we call Hari Yehuda, and that would include Heshtaol, Vitzara, Viashna, Vizanoach, Vienganim, Tapuach, Vahinam. The modern cities that we call by these names are in fact very much in our consciousness, and they're in that area. Yarmut, Ve'adulam, Socho, Ve'azeka. Azekas to have ultimately a lot of impact on our history. Visha'arayim, which will also, as we'll see, be very important later on in the time of Shimshon, and Aditaim, and Hagidera, Giderotaim, Arim, Arba'asrei v'chatzreihem. This gives us another 14, although again, there's really 15 if you count, unless we say Gidera and Giderotaim is one city, perhaps Tapuach v'Einam is one city, and as we said before, Chatzreihem comes to include perhaps other cities that are also, whether they're mentioned or unmentioned, satellite cities to the Batei Orei Choma. Now moving on to the south of the Shvela, we get to Tznan, V'chadasha, and this is actually the city that the Gemara uses to be the paradigm, a model of a tiny city, and that's Chadasha. The Gemara says in Yehuda, the city called Chadasha has only 50 people living there. U'migdal, Migdal Gad, which Gad, and Dil'an, V'hamitzpeh, V'yokta'el, Lachish, which of course was a very important city, U'votzkat, V'eglon, V'chabon, V'lachmas, V'chitlish, Ugderot, Beit Dagon, V'nahama, U'makeda. This area, being another Chevel, Harim, Sheshesrei, V'chatzrayem, here we have another 16 cities, this being in the southern part now of the Shvela. Now we're moving on, and this was now the southern part of the Shvela. We're now going to do further cities in the Shvela, most of it in the area to the mid-Shvela, or the east of the Shvela. And this is Livna, Ve'eter, Yashan, Yiftach, Yashna, Unziv, Uki'ila, Ve'achziv, Umaresha. This is Arim Tesha, another 9 cities, Ve'chatzrehen, together with the satellite cities that were connected. And now we move on to the area that is actually what we have in our map as the Chof Hayam. And we're going to be talking about the Glilot of the Plishtim, which were towards the south of this Chof Hayam, including the 3 major divisions of the Plishtim area, Ekron, Ashdod, and Aza, as we're going to see. So we have Ekron, Uvenoteha, V'chatzereha, Uvenoteha are actual satellite cities that have their own Chashimut. And although the city of Ekron was actually, as we're going to see later, is going to be part of Dan, Benotea v'chatzereha are going to end up remaining in Nachalat Yehuda. Ve'ekron Yama, Me'ekron Yama, we go towards the sea directly. Kol asher ayad Ashdod v'chatzrehem. Ashdod, Benotea v'chatzereha. Again, this is the city of Ashdod, which apparently includes even Ashkelon, which is between Aza to the south of the Tchum of Aza. Aza, Vahayam, Vahayam HaGadol Ugvul, this going again all the way, each of these cities was basically coastal cities, including, therefore, the area that was along the coast and the beaches and whatever towns would be there. Moving up now to the Har, Ubahar, we have Shamir and Viatir, and Socho, and Dana, the Kiryat Sana. This Kiryat Sana is the town of Vir, that we've heard so much about. The Anav, the Eshtemo, the Anim, the Goshen, the Cholon, the Gilo, Harim, Achadesre, V'chatzrehem. And this now includes 11 cities and their suburban areas. This being now is called the area of the Har. We have what we've done right now is spoken about the southern area of the Har, which includes now 11 cities. And then moving on to the area, the Hevel of the Midhar in Pasuk Nun Beitz, Arab, Veruma, Ve'eshan. So we've got also Yanum, Beit Tapuach, Afeka, which also ends up being a very important place. However, there are quite a few Afekas. This is Afeka in the area of Hebron. Chumta, Kiryat Arba, Hi Hebron, Vitzior, Orim, Tesha, V'chatzrehem. Moving on now to the eastern side of the area of Har Hebron, which apparently is an area to itself. Again, you can see each one of these areas, we give a counting of the cities, especially when they differ from the actual ones that we would count ourselves. And then we have Ma'on, Carmel, Vazif, V'yuta, Yisrael, Yokdeam, V'zanoach, Akain, Giv'ah, V'timna, all together Orim, Eser, V'chatzrehem. So this is the, perhaps Akain refers to all of the Keni, as we're going to see, those are the children of Yitro that play a role later in the Milchom at the time of Shaul with Amalek. And these cities, again, we only know the general area. It's nice to know that Utah has got a place in Yoshua as well. Chauchul, Beit Sur, Ugdor, Umara, Marat, Uveit, Anot, Ve'eltikon, Orim Sheish, Ve'chatzrehem. And this now moving on to the southern half of the area that's called Har Hebron. Chalchul is known. It's an area that is about 7 kilometers north of Hebron, and it's quite high above the sea level, which gives it some nice snows. And we move on here, a total of six cities with their chatzerim. Kiryat Baal, which is Kiryat Yarim, Beharaba, Arim Shtaim, Bechatzrehim. So this Kiryat Yarim, this is in the area that is called Har Yarim, also a separate area. Ba'midbar, now moving into Midbar Yehuda, we have Beit Arava, Middin, Usechocha, This going, of course, further to the east, as it approaches the Yam HaMelech area, the Yarden, we call that the Midbar Yehuda. It's very clear as you're driving from Yerushalayim exactly what point it is. You've reached the end of the tree area and begun the area of Midbar Yehuda. V'hanifshan, v'ir HaMelech, v'engedi, arim shesh, v'chatzrehim. Engedi, of course, a famous, beautiful place, which was called Chatzatzon Tamar, as it points out, the Chumash Gufa, he Engedi. We call that Chatzatzon Tamar. The Rayomi makes reference to the fact that they're identical places. The Eta Yevusi, Yoshvei Yerushalayim. Now, when it came to the Yevus, who were the ones who dwelled in Yerushalayim, although, in fact, this was meant to be part of this same area, although there's machlok about whether Yerushalayim itself was ever given out to the Shvatim, Lo Yuchlu, B'nei Yisrael Lahorishim. B'nei Yehuda Lahorisham. This was out of the hands of Bnei Yehuda to get rid of the Yevus in Yerushalayim. Vayeshiva Yevusi et Bnei Yehuda b'Yerushalayim ad hayom hazeh. And indeed, that Yevus continued to dwell inside the Shevet Yehuda. Now there is also a Yevus, we'll see later on, the Yevusi, which is Yerushalayim, which is part of Binyamin, and indeed that is the lower city. This is the upper city of Yerushalayim, and that part indeed was controlled, was called the Ir Elyona during the time of the Beit Sheni, and this was called the Yevus as well. Although we say Ad Hayom Hazeh, the fact is that during the time of the Shoftim, apparently there already some of these cities around that hadn't been conquered were conquered, and of course this Yerushalayim became the one David HaMelech in the end captured and became the capital Kiryat Melech Rav. So the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer has a story that when Avram Avinu, which indeed relates this piece of Yerushalayim to the part of Kibbutz Kolev and the Maaret HaMachpelah, that Avram Avinu went to Bnei Yevus to buy the Maaret HaMachpelah, and the Medrash asks, I thought they were Chitim, it says Bnei Chet, but they were all called Yevusim because of the city of Yevus. They didn't want to sell it to Avram, as we know, and he had to argue, and Vayishtachu Avram Lifnei HaMaaret, and so on. And they said to him, look, we know that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you this land. We want a Brit that the city of Yevus will not be taken over unless they agree. And then if you agree to that, then we give you the Maaret HaMachpelah and Vayishma Avram. El Efron, according to the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, is a reference to that he was Mekabelus. And so they made statues that were made out of bronze and put them around the city. And on these statues, they had, in fact, written the Shvu of Avram Avinu with Ramazim to Yaakov Avinu and to Yitzchak. They were blind and they were dragging their leg. And so when Yehoshua came now to go into Yevus, he saw this immediately, and because of the brit with Avram Avinu, lo yachlu b'nei Yehuda lo risham, meant they were not allowed lo risham. This was a reference back to that Shvuah itself. Now Rashi here brings from the Sifri, that actually from Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, that the word lo yachlu means were not allowed, and this was because of the Shvuah that Avram Avinu made to Avimelech, and indeed there it says that the Liel and Iniel and Echdi, those Dorot, the Gemara points out to that was to Avimelech, and that was Avimelech, Melech Plishtim. Three generations. Look how many generations, at best, seven generations from Avram until the Yerusha. And it was still the promise that he had made to Avimelech, Melech Plishtim, so that this Yevus area could not be conquered because it was Osir for them to conquer it. And I'll just take one moment to point out to you that a lot of these places, we know various Kabbalah, various Midrashim, that they're merames to things. Each one of these cities obviously has its own location, but everything in Eretz Yisrael has not only location, but also has spiritual content. So that we have a really beautiful Gemara that talks about in Gittin, where Ravuna Barnosan asks Ravashi, how do you explain this pasuk, v'kina, v'dimona, v'yadada, this is pasuk Chav Beis, and Ravashi said, what do you mean, how do I explain it? It's the name of cities in Eretz Yisrael. So Ravuna said to him, what do you think, I'm an idiot? Of course it's the names of cities, but I'll tell you that I have a Kabbalah from Rav Gavia, from our Giza, who told us what it means, that the city of Kina is merames like this. If somebody has Kina al Chaveiro, so then v'dimona, he should learn to be domim. If he has a rightful tain against another person, don't do anything about it. And then, if you do that, so then Ada, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Shochein Adayad, he will be no came your din for you. So Rav Ashi says, and what are you going to do with other cities? What about Siklag and Madmana and Sansana and so on and so forth? So Rav Huna said to him, well, I don't know, but I could tell you that if Rav Gavia was around, he would have told you what it all meant. And then at that point, we find that other Talmidei Chachamim come along, and they say, they're pshatim in the cities. So Again, we can't go into the details. But the fact is that there are remuzim in each one of these places. In fact, later in Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Tznan, Chadasha, and Migdal Gad, the Medrash says that actually these three places are Yerushalayim. The reason that it's referred to here as Tznan is because it is now desiccated. It's called Chadasha because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to go back and be Mechadish it, Latid Lavot. It's called Migdal Gad because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be go and he will go Gader, go Dead. He will tear out the roots of the Ummah Yisraelam who had threatened Yerushalayim. So again, the interrelationship between these places is also merames on all types of things that remain hidden inside these psukim.